many of you know, Brenda Marsalis had a health crisis last weekend. She's going to have a mass removed from her brain tomorrow. At least that was the schedule. And I know many of you have been praying for Brenda and Mike. The process is complicated, but has great promise. And I'd like for us to pray together about that situation at this time. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the power that you possess. We thank you for the willingness to allow us to approach your throne. And this morning we approach you in a request for Brenda. Father, we just pray that the surgeons who perform this surgery tomorrow will be successful. We pray that the plans that they have laid out can be done fully and completely. Father, our prayer is that that malady could be removed totally and completely from her body and that she might have full and complete health. We also pray for Mike and pray that you'd give him strength and support as he tries to uphold Brenda and encourage her. Father, we just pray for them and their family. We just pray that her health needs can be met tomorrow. We pray this through your precious son. Amen. There's a song that many of you probably know. There's a TV series called This Old House, but there's a song that is sung that predates all that. It was written back in 1954 and first recorded by Rosemary Clooney. There's been many, many versions of it, many, many recordings since that time, but it begins, "This old house once knew my children, this old house once knew my wife, this old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life." And I don't know of a better description of family than the group that fights the storms of life. That's really what we do. That's part of life. And the amount of encouragement and the amount of strength and the amount of the cooperation that the various family members bring allows families to triumph over those storms that invade our lives so very much. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is dealing with a storm. And this morning I'd like for us to look at that and make some comparisons that might be useful in our own lives. We'll start in verse 22. It says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out." It's good in this version to see that this word is lake, because that's the reference, that's the accurate reference. In many Bibles it says Sea of Galilee, and sometimes people are critical of the fact that, well, that's not a sea, it's a lake. And certainly it is, it's a freshwater area. I think I have a slide of that, do I not? Yeah. Up in the area that Jesus came from, not very big at all, 13 miles long and about 7 miles wide. You could find similar lakes in our experience today. But it was known for to be in an area where there could be these sudden types of storms. And so that's exactly what happens. In verse 23, "As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger." I don't know what image you have of the boat, but I have this terrible image because when I was a kid, the lady who taught Bible school had a flannel graph, and she used this Spanish boat that looked like it could hold several hundred people. When you thought in terms of the story, you thought, well, Jesus was probably asleep in the captain's quarters somewhere, and they had to run down there and wake him up and bring him up on top to the top deck. But when the real truth comes out, it was radically different than that. And one of the ways that we know that is that there is a boat called the Sea of Galilee boat, Jesus boat, is what it's referred to more often. In 1986, there was a drought, and on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, they actually found this boat, the remnants of a boat of that era. Somewhere between 100 B.C. and 100 A.D. is where it's dated to be, and obviously that fits perfectly in that time. This boat is 27 feet long and 7.5 feet wide. It doesn't make any sense when you think about it that these great big boats could be on the Sea of Galilee. It wouldn't have been practical. Where would you have built them? How would you have gotten them there? This particular boat has 12 different kinds of wood in it. These are handmade crafts that people are involved in. Others have, go ahead and show some of the models. There's another picture of it. Handmade models based on this situation or what was going on there. You see a good sleeping place on that boat? Obviously, there's not one. This is the kind of boat they were in. And this is the kind of danger that could have been created in that kind of a situation. Mark chapter 8, verse 38 gives us a little more information about Jesus. It says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? The disciples were very much concerned. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Things can happen pretty seriously in these kind of situations. It happened pretty quickly. You have only to go to the recent news in Branson, Missouri. And if you've seen any of that video at all, one of the things that's kind of staggering about that is that it came up so quickly. And in terms of the intensity, you didn't really see that level of intensity. But the Sea of Galilee is known for these incredible storms. And in January of this year, the Sea of Galilee experienced 120 mile per hour winds. That's enough to cause any kind of an extreme storm. So even in our day, that happens, and it's happened. It happened to them. They're afraid, Master. We're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, Who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey them. Jesus could heal. Jesus could still the storm. He could still the storm that they were living and that they were experiencing at that time. And that's just a tremendous amount about him. Sometimes you'll hear in reference to this particular story that a thunderstorm will carry about the same amount of intensity or energy that a nuclear bomb would carry. And that's a comparison to a 100 kiloton nuclear bomb. And I've heard that before, and I've heard other people say that isn't true. And so I actually looked that up, and it is true. I can't do the math, but I can show you a website where somebody can. The difference is that the energy is spread out over a storm rather than being concentrated, but it just gives you an idea of how much power there is unleashed in a thunderstorm. The other thing that's interesting to me is at least a few of these guys are professional fishermen. Think they've ever faced a rough sea before? They're afraid. They're very scared of what's taking place. And so that gives us another kind of indication. And then when Jesus just steps up and says, be quiet, it's over, the men are responding by saying, even the winds and the water obey him. Nature itself is under his control. Well, we look at this storm, and we see this tremendous power that Jesus has. And you may be saying to yourself, well, I'm not a fisherman. I'm not going to be out on the Sea of Galilee, and so this isn't really going to come up in my life. And yet the parallel is very obvious. The storms that Jesus stills are the storms in our lives. Approximately 2,000 thunderstorms are taking place at any given moment in our world today. And I suppose that that's probably a strong parallel to the things that are happening in our lives. If we could go around the room this morning, there are no doubts that people would say, this is the storm I'm experiencing. Now, some of those storms would be pretty intense. Some of your storms may be hurricanes. Some of your storms may be tornadoes. They may be severe storms, or they may be the ordinary storms. Probably as much difficulty as anything is that ordinary, repetitive storm. that occurs over and over and over again and just wears us down. And I imagine there are a few of you sitting here thinking, I wish I had an ordinary repetitive storm. What I have is repetitive hurricanes that are coming in my life. This is overwhelming me. The storm is taking advantage of me. The storm is defeating me. The storm is putting me in a place where I don't have control of my life, and I feel battered and destroyed and threatened and very much afraid. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, it's going to be hard, it's going to be tough. And when people tell you differently, they aren't being fair. The warning from the Christ is there are going to be storms in your life. But he comes right and leads into that by saying, but I have peace. I am the entity that can provide peace to you in those situations. Jesus can bring peace in the midst of the storm. He wants to, and he can. You may remember in your childhood how afraid you were of thunder. And maybe some adult would say to you, the thunder's not going to hurt you. But you knew the correlation between thunder and some of the other things that were more threatening. But I see in our lives sometimes this tendency to run from the thunder. The first noise of the storm drives us to be fearful just like the rest of the world. And I can't help but feel like if we could show to the world that we're not afraid of the thunder, that we're not going to immediately react out of fear, that we're not going to immediately shrink back, that we have confidence that our God and His Son can help us through those difficult storms, I think that would really, really matter in the influence that we have on others. About a year ago, I was babysitting my younger granddaughter, Ivy, Sean and Liz's daughter. And Terry and I were both there. Terry had to run an errand, and so it's just Ivy and I, and Elijah is asleep. And one of those freak thunderstorms came up, that kind where the first thing you hear is the thunder. And Ivy's just playing around in the room, and boom, this thunder occurs. And she just falls on the floor, just crying, you know. It's okay, it's okay, it's going to be all right. And she says, Mommy, you know, I want Daddy, I want Mimi, I want Mam Mam, I want Aunt. I wasn't the person that she wanted. She didn't feel at all comforted by me. She wanted somebody who mattered to be there in that situation. And that's really what we're talking about here. People come and say, oh, okay, I can help you through this. And it might be your therapist, or it might be your friend, or it might be your spouse. It could be any number of people. And as much as we appreciate what folks are trying to do, our reality is you can't handle this. And God says, I can. I can handle this. Now, the confusion sometimes comes when we're having a storm in our life. We want it handled the way Jesus handled it. We want him to go, stop, and the storm stops immediately. Unfortunately, God doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's gradual. And I think that's so useful for us to look back on problems we were having 5 years ago or 10 years ago and recognize that God has dealt with that. And we've replaced it with other things, and frequently we don't give him enough credit for the kind of things that he's done in our lives. In verse 25, there are two questions that are asked, and I want to quickly look at those two questions before we're done this morning. The first question is, where is your faith? Jesus looks at him and says, where is your faith? And I can almost hear him saying to them, what have you seen me do? What are the things that I've done? And all you have to do is go back one chapter in Luke chapter 7, this time verse 22, when he's sending the message back to John the Baptist. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. The guys in this boat have seen Jesus do some incredible things. They've seen him heal people of many kinds of illnesses. They've seen him raise someone from the dead. And yet, they don't have the faith to believe that he can rule over the elements. The parallel, of course, is what have you seen him do? What are the times in your life where you wouldn't have made it if it hadn't been for God's help? What are the times when God has answered your greatest need? When are those moments when in the midst of the storm, you were thrown a lifeline that allowed you to survive that and continue, and you look back on those things, and because they haven't happened recently perhaps, we get a little numb to that process. God has answered our need. He's done it over and over again. Where's our faith? In Mark chapter 40, verse 4, the parallel passage, Jesus says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are we afraid?" Well, it's natural to be afraid. It's something that Satan plays on. He stokes and stimulates our fear over and over again to make us very conscious of what's going on. The last question, or second question, is who is this? Now remember what we just talked about. What have they seen Jesus do? They understand that this is a whole new level of things. They understand that this guy is controlling the natural elements. Sometimes people talk about an act of God. The hurricane was the act of God, or the flood was an act of God, or the earthquake was an act of God. There's nothing that man can do about it. And in this situation, in a conflict with nature, this God on earth says, no, I'm going to actually stop this natural process. Every now and then you hear somebody that's got an idea about how they're going to deal with something in nature. And I remember a couple of years ago, there was a fellow that was showing this idea for how to stop hurricanes. And it's a long and difficult thing, and I won't go into the details. But as soon as you hear it, you think, you know, that's probably going to be trouble somewhere. That's probably not a good idea. You can read about Mao Zedong and the attempt to remove the four pests from China. One of the things he wanted to do was kill all the sparrows. And he set off an ecological disaster by trying to kill all the birds. The mosquitoes just took over. And it was very difficult to get those to come back. God has a plan here. He's stronger than us. And he understands more than we. And he rules over nature. We've been fortunate around here this year. We've had a lot of rain, but we haven't had many storms. Not many times when it's looked bad on the weather, not many times or perhaps any when we've had to go to the cellar, although maybe we've been concerned about it a few times. We look at those storms that occur and we see that there's really a positive part of that. I mean, think about it for just a minute. How do you get the great earth watered with fresh water from reservoirs of salt water? God had a plan to do that. And as we watch the weather systems that march across our world, we know that he's answering a need. He's meeting a need. If that moisture stopped, we know what happens. And sometimes in that process, there's storms that go through that. And we know that and we accept that. And yet, when the storm passes, typically we're stronger, we're empowered, we feel like we've conquered, we feel like we've grown, we feel like our faith has taken a step forward because we've been able to manage and survive that storm, especially if we've done that through God's resources and with God's help. I want to end by sharing a story with you. About 30 years ago, I got a phone call on a Saturday afternoon, and the lady on the other end was a person we went to church with and a really good friend. Her husband's name was Mike, and she said, Mike's dad has been hit by lightning. Well, that's never good. And she said, they've rushed him out to the local hospital. Would you come out there? So I did. By the time I got there, it was all okay. The neighbors were sitting there who had seen what had happened, and the doctors have checked this guy out, and they've said, he's going to be okay. He's just fine. And as I'm talking to the wife, the big doors open, and here comes Mike and his dad. And his dad looks like somebody's just been hit by lightning. His hair is all, you know, going all different kinds of directions. He has this really glazed, stunned look on his face. And as I look at him, I kind of start at the head and go down. He's wearing clothes. He's wearing a pair of shorts. And on his feet are the tops to canvas boat shoes. He was wearing those when he was literally knocked off of the lawnmower. And the rubber part melted to the lawnmower, and all he has on are the tops. And you can hear his feet go slap, slap, slap against the tile. And it struck me as incredibly funny. And I looked over at his wife, and she had the same impulse. And we're like, oh no, you know, this guy's coming back into the waiting room, and we're gonna start breaking out laughing, you know, you're trying to find anything to distract you and go in another direction. And you're sitting here thinking, well, what does that have to do with storms? Well, you know, sometimes a little bit of humor can help us make it through the storm. And I think often, even in the darkest moments, God provides for us these silver little situations where we get to have our heart lifted just a little bit. Just one of the ways that the truth is that He knows how hard it is for us. He knows how difficult it is for us. And I've seen people in some horrible situations step up with a smile or with something that was positive or that was something that was funny. And it just helped everybody to make it through the storm. We're going to sing, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. That's what the apostles, the disciples, should have done. But they didn't quite have the faith. They didn't quite have the courage to do that. They panicked. And Jesus continues to extend that opportunity to us. Trust me. Trust me. It's going to be okay. If you need to do something this morning in your relationship to God, we'd be glad to help you with that while we sing this song together.